Tony Campello tells the following story. Miss Thompson taught Teddy Stollard in the fourth grade. He was slow, unkept, and a loner, shunned by his classmates. The previous year, his mother died. And what little motivation for school he may have once had was now gone. Miss Thompson didn't particularly care for Teddy either. But at Christmas time, he brought her a small present. Her desk was covered with well-wrapped presents from the other children, but Teddy's came in a brown sack. When she opened it, there was a gaudy rhinestone bracelet with half the stones missing and a bottle of cheap perfume. The children began to snicker, but Miss Thompson saw the importance of the moment. She quickly splashed on some perfume and put on the bracelet, pretending Teddy had given her something special. At the end of the day, Teddy worked up enough courage to softly say, "Miss Thompson, you smell just like my mother. And her bracelet looks real pretty on you, too. I'm glad you like my presents." After Teddy left, Miss Thompson got down on her knees and prayed for God's forgiveness. She prayed for God to use her as she sought not only to teach these children, but to love them as well. She became a new teacher. She lovingly helped students like Teddy. And by the end of the year, he had caught up with most of the students. Miss Thompson didn't hear from Teddy for a long time. Then she received this note. "Dear Miss Thompson, I wanted you to be the first to know I will be graduating second in my class. Love, Teddy Stollard." 4 years later, she got another note. "Dear Miss Thompson, they just told me I will be graduating first in my class. I wanted you to be the first to know. The university has not been easy, but I liked it. Love, Teddy Stollard." 4 years later, "Dear Miss Thompson, as of today, I am Theodore Stollard, M.D. How about that? Anyway, I wanted you to be the first to know I am getting married next month. I want you to come and sit where my mother would sit if she were alive. You are the only family I have now. Dad died last year. Love, Teddy Stollard." Miss Thompson went to the wedding and sat there where Teddy's mother would have sat, because she let God use her as an instrument of love. That's a great story because it reveals the power of love and how love, even just a little bit, can change the entire life, the entire course of a person who needs to be loved. It's a touching story. It's a hopeful story. But for me, it's also a convicting story. Because I don't always love others as I should. We have been making our way through 1 Peter, which is a letter written to several churches in Asia Minor who were experiencing severe persecution and suffering. And as we have read thus far, this letter by Peter has been a letter of hope, encouraging his readers to look up and to move onward through their hardships and the trials, knowing that there is an unimaginable life to come for them in the future for those who are in Christ Jesus. This letter also serves as a reminder that we are to live a life of holiness, even in the midst of hardships and trials, because our Heavenly Father is holy. Because someday our works, what we do and why we do what we do, will be judged for rewards. And most importantly, we are to live a life of holiness because we have been redeemed, ransomed from the bondage and the penalty of sin by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So with all that said, you would think that those who look up in hope and those who walk in holiness would be able to love one another in harmony. But we know that is not always the case. One of the painful facts of life is that the people of God, brothers and sisters in Christ, do not always get along with each other. And in a world full of anger and contention and division, typically over things that have absolutely no eternal value whatsoever, if there is a body of people who should live in harmony and unity, if there is a body of people who should rise above the hatred and the strife and really love one another, it should be the church, the body of Christ. And that's what I want to talk with you about this morning. We're going to pick up where we left off last week. So turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. We're almost done with this chapter. 1 Peter chapter 1, and we will begin with verse 22. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 22. Are you there? Okay. Since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. Let's stop there. It would appear that these believers in Asia Minor were not only experiencing persecution and suffering from those on the outside of the church, but maybe they were also struggling with members of their own church family. Keep in mind that in these first century churches, members found themselves in these new and different and maybe even awkward relationships. For example, Jews and Gentiles are now worshiping side by side, a practice completely foreign and even prohibited under Judaism. In addition, you now have masters and slaves who are brothers in Christ. So all these relationships that they were previously accustomed to in their culture dramatically changed. But fortunately, they had changed as well. They were born again. When reading this verse, verse 22, I will admit, it was a little difficult to understand because of the way it was laid out, the way it was constructed. So let me share it in a way that will hopefully be a little clearer. Okay? So Peter says, and I am paraphrasing, okay? This is Bob's paraphrase. I just want to say that, okay? I'm paraphrasing. As a result of your salvation, since you are born again and are walking in obedience to the truth, which has this cleansing, purifying effect in your life, giving full proof of this by your brotherly love, go deeper. Go deeper and love one another. Peter commands us to love one another. That's the main point here. And in context, this command is focused on loving our Christian brothers and sisters. Because of our salvation, God has given us the capacity to love others. And He has given us a family to share this love with. In fact, one of the evidences of being truly born again is the love that we have for our Christian brothers and sisters. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, the Apostle John tells us, listen to this, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love." We may not always agree as brothers and sisters in Christ, right? That's a given. You may not always agree with me. Totally understandable. But you have to love me, right? You have to love me. Now, if you notice in verse, okay, separate less. Okay. I picked right up on that less. Now, if you notice in verse 22 of 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter mentions the word love two times. And I bring this up because these two words don't mean the same. Okay? When Peter mentions love of the brethren, he is using the Greek word phileo, which is half of the larger Greek word, Philadelphia. That word describes brotherly, affectionate love. A love for one another, just like the love typically shared between a natural brother or sister. Okay? Simply put, since we are born again, walking in obedience to the truth, it's a given. It's a given that we share this brotherly love with one another. For we are part of what? The same spiritual family. We have the same heavenly Father. So this kind of love is expected. It's a given. Peter also mentions that this brotherly love, which is a given, which is expected, is to be sincere. Literally meaning without hypocrisy. Brotherly love shouldn't be two-faced. Two-faced, where you pretend, where you wear a mask, so to speak, pretending you care for someone when your words and actions behind the scenes tell a completely different story. Brotherly love for one another is a given in the family of God. It's expected and it has to be sincere. It has to be the real thing. Now, Peter's second use of the word love is different. And it goes much deeper. And this kind of love is commanded by God. So we had better pay attention to this, okay? Peter says to fervently love one another from the heart. Your translation may be a little different, okay? Maybe to deeply love, something similar to that. But we are to fervently love one another from the heart. This is a different kind of love. Here, Peter uses the Greek word agapeo, or agape, which in essence means to sacrifice one's self for the greater good of another. Did you get that? To sacrifice one's self for the greater good of another. This is the highest kind of love. It describes the love that Jesus showed to us. And it comes from God. For He is the source of this love. This is not a love which we can produce on our own. Rather, this deeper agape love starts with God. It comes down to us and then flows out from us to other people. God has given us, as believers, the capacity to share this divine love to another, to share His heart with someone else. Now, there's something else I want to tell you about this deeper agape love. This kind of love is unconditional, meaning it reaches out to another person with no strings attached. It's sacrificial in nature. It's selfless, giving itself to another without demanding or expecting anything in return. And it's a deliberate love. It's a deliberate love. That is, it is an act of our will. It's a choice we make. It's not a love that is based on warm, fuzzy feelings or emotions. Rather, it's an act of our will, whereby we choose to treat others the way God treated us. Period. God loves us, so we love others. God forgives us, so we forgive others. God is gracious to us, so we are gracious to others. God is patient with us, so we are patient with others. God is kind to us, so we are kind to others. And on it goes. Again, this agape love is not about emotions or feelings. It's about the choice we make. It's about our willingness. And ultimately, it's an act of obedience to God. For we are commanded by God to love one another in this deeper agape way. Peter added that this agape love is to be fervently shared. Fervently shared. That word fervently gives the image of stretching out to the limit with or straining with all of one's effort to reach the goal line. It's kind of a, there's a sports picture around this. In other words, the kind of love that God desires to see flowing through us, that deeper agape love, can be challenging to give. It can be downright difficult to share because it often involves people who are hard to love. Perhaps you've seen the Peanuts cartoon. Linus, y'all know who Linus is, right? Linus announces to his cranky sister Lucy that he's going to be a doctor. "You? A doctor?" she asks. "How can you be a doctor? You don't love mankind." Linus replies, "I do love mankind. It's people I can't stand." Yeah, let's be honest. It's easy to love people who love you back. But we know that is not always the case. Many of you find yourselves in relationships where loving someone is very difficult. You've been hurt. You've been wronged. Your love is not returned, or your love has been rejected. And I get it. It's difficult. It's challenging. It's hard. And quite frankly, if we're going to be honest here, you don't feel like loving the other person. It's the last thing you want to do, right? I get it. But this deeper agape love is not based on your feelings for the other person. And it's not based on their being deserving of your love. Again, it's an act of obedience to God. Meaning, you have the God-given capacity to share this love, but you also have a choice to obey God or not. It's a choice. It's a decision you make whereby you allow God to share His love to someone else through you. So since you've been born again, because God is doing a work in your life, since your heart has been changed, you are to respond in obedience to God by what? Loving one another. Even those who might seem unlovable. And how might God teach you and me to love like this? By putting us around hard to love people. I didn't see any elbows. That's good. Okay. There really is no better way to learn to love others in this deeper agape way. I mean, if you only associate with nice and sweet and fun and loving people, you will never learn to love the way God wants you to love. In fact, the way God loves you. Ain't gonna happen. So that might explain why some of the difficulties in your relationships are a little difficult. That might explain why there are people in your life that you don't particularly like. But you can only learn to love in this deeper agape way by being around those people who are hard to love. Because we are saved, because we look up to God, it should influence how we relate to others. Our vertical relationship with God should impact our horizontal relationships with one another. And if it doesn't, then you need to evaluate your relationship with God. Because one flows from the other. And if that sounds too harsh, if your pastor seems too judgmental, listen to what the Apostle John tells us. He tells us in 1 John chapter 4, verse 20. Listen to this. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. Ooh. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother, who he has seen, cannot love God whom he has not seen. What's John saying here? Show your love to God by loving your Christian brothers and sisters. And if you aren't loving your brothers and sisters, people right in front of you, if you aren't loving one another, then you are revealing that you really aren't loving God either. Years ago, I heard this quote by Dorothy Day. Don't know her, but I remember the quote. Where she said, listen to this. I might repeat it twice. I really only love God as much as the person I love the least. Let me repeat that. I really only love God as much as the person I love the least. That'll keep you up at night, won't it? Thinking about that one. But it drives home the point that every claim we make to love God is a delusion if it is not accompanied by love for one another. Our love for God and our love for one another is all connected. It's inseparable. You can't have one without the other. Let's move on to verse 22. Excuse me, verse 23. Where Peter says, "For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is, through the living and enduring Word of God." So what's our motivation to love others in this deeper agape way? It's the truth of the gospel. The truth of God's Word that tells us God loved us with an agape love. Even though we were still yet in our sin, even though we wanted nothing to do with God, even though we did not deserve His love, even though we were absolutely unlovable, God made a choice and He loved us and He saved us. Therefore, because God loved us first, we love others. At the moment of your salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, after receiving the truth of God's Word, after receiving the gospel as a seed planted in your heart, you were given a new life and a new nature. You are born of God. And because it's the nature of our Heavenly Father to love, as His child, it's your new nature to love as well. Love is now part of our spiritual DNA, if you will. You have the God-given capacity to love others in this deeper agape way of love because you are born again. Now, it's only a matter of choice to obey God's Word or not. That's what it boils down to. To obey God's Word or not. And if you think about it from that perspective, this whole matter of loving one another has more to do with God than it has to do with people you like or don't like. That's the truth. I read a devotion years ago, and the writer said this. Listen to this. "I have often said that the hardest thing to do in the Christian, as a Christian, is to obey God. And yet, the easiest thing to do is to obey God. As soon as you decide He is God." Let me repeat that. I have often said that the hardest thing to do as a Christian is to obey God. And yet, the easiest thing to do is obey God. As soon as you decide He is God. That's deep. And it's true. So true. Loving one another is about your relationship with God. Knowing God. Taking Him at His word. And choosing to obey Him. Which leads us to verse 24. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls off. But the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which was preached to you. I tend to cringe a bit when a New Testament writer quotes something from the Old Testament, because sometimes it is difficult for me to understand the reason for using the Old Testament passage. Other times I find it difficult to put the New Testament quote into context within the New Testament passage. In this passage, Peter quotes Isaiah chapter 40. And in context, Isaiah was writing to God's people who were taken into captivity in Babylon. They were being afflicted and oppressed for nearly 70 years. And Isaiah wrote to comfort them and to assure them that God would keep all of His promises and return them back to their promised land. God's word was good and sure, and that was the main point of both Isaiah and Peter, that God was faithful and His word was true. In other words, you could take God at His word. Everything else would fade away. The grass would wither, the flower would fail, and people will die. But the word of God would endure forever. God's word through Isaiah proved to be absolutely true. And Peter reassured his readers that the same gospel that was preached to them, likely earlier by Paul, the same gospel they had received, the same gospel that had changed their lives, the same gospel that is lasting and enduring, that gospel must be given your attention and obeyed. And their salvation after receiving the gospel of God, God's agape love for them, is the basis for their love to one another and ours as well. So the last thing I want to mention comes from 1 John chapter 13. Excuse me, John chapter 13. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. Where Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know you are my disciples if you have love for one another." In this passage, Jesus mentioned the word love four times. And in all four times, Jesus used the Greek word agape. And I say all that to say this. A lost and dying world will not believe that God really loves them until they see God's love in action being shared by us. We have to love one another. A Salvation Army worker found a homeless woman alone on the street and invited her to come into the chapel for help. But the woman refused to move. The worker assured her, "We love you and want to help you. God loves you. Jesus died for you." But the woman did not budge. As if on divine impulse, the worker leaned over and kissed the woman on the forehead, taking her into her arms. The woman began to sob, and like a child, was led into the chapel where she ultimately trusted Christ. Later, she said to the worker, "You told me that God loved me. I've heard that before. But it wasn't until you showed me that God loved me that I wanted to be saved." I was talking to Les this morning in Sunday school. We were talking about love has to be shown. It's an action, isn't it? We just got to do it. We have to love one another, right? I think it's kind of interesting that we found ourselves coming to this passage at this time in our nation. We are to love one another. And in churches all across America, we are divided by political camps. We're actually divided by this little piece of paper. Think about that. We are commanded to love one another, and that little thing has divided the church in America. A piece of paper with a couple little pieces of elastic string that goes around the ears. Isn't that wild? I find that wild. Is this all it takes? Seriously? Is this all it takes to divide a church? Wow. Wow. We're to love one another. Doesn't matter if you feel like it. Doesn't matter if the love is returned or not. Doesn't matter if they're lovable. It's a command by God to love one another. Doesn't matter their political party. Doesn't matter if they're red or blue. Does not matter. We are to love one another. I don't know how much plainer we can be. I wish the church in America would learn this. It's just amazing to me. We went through Galatians some time ago. You remember Galatians? And we talked about the law of Christ. And essentially, that's what it is. The law of Christ is to love one another. That's what it is. The law of Christ. I just don't understand. Where did we go that our... that my individual rights usurp the law of Christ? When did that happen? When did it happen that I became more important than someone else? I don't know where that went. We're supposed to love one another. Period. Period. Not a comma. Period. Love one another. I don't want to get on a soapbox. I'm going to stop myself before I do. That's all I'm asking. If our nation needs anything right now, it's not Trump. It's not Biden. It's we just need to love one another. We would have none of the strife we are dealing with these days. None whatsoever if we would simply follow that one command. Love one another. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your love and your mercy. Truth of the matter is, Lord, if you waited for me to deserve your love, it would be a long wait. You loved me. You loved us. Even though we were undeserving. Matter of fact, your word tells us, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He loved us. Your Son demonstrated agape love to us. Father, help us to be like you. Help us, Lord, to put aside all of the stuff that means nothing in eternity. Nothing. Help us to put it all aside, Lord God, and to love you and to love one another. That's all I ask, Lord. Help us to love one another. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I was talking to a few of you this morning, and you were asking about Patricia. You're going to need to take this off the tape. You know, I've been running ragged at the house, caring for her, up and down stairs, you know, it just doing stuff most of you do on a regular basis, right? Kind of foreign to me, but I'm up and down. I mean, I'm waiting on her hand and foot, whatever she needs. I don't care. 2 a.m, 3 a.m, it doesn't matter to me. I'm on it. I'm her guy. And it's a little tiresome. But you know what? I love it. I just enjoy doing it. There's something about loving another person, just really loving them, that just does something for the person who's doing the loving. I can't wait to go back home and to see what Trisha needs. I mean, that's just kind of where it's got for me. I get so much more out of loving her than I think she gets from me. We're doing ourselves a disservice if we don't love one another. There's so much joy in that. There's so much joy in that. Don't tell her that, though. just take it off. She'll use it against me. That's right. No. But it's the absolute truth. It's the absolute truth. As Les said this morning, love is doing. It's just doing. I don't expect anything in return from her. Not a thing. I just love doing it. I just love doing it. And we should do the same thing for one another. The same thing. Just love one another. I don't know where you are this morning. I pray. I'm a little tired, so I may not have been as energetic as I normally am on Sundays, but hopefully the Lord has touched you this morning in some way. If you feel led to respond to Him in a way, please do. This really is, it's about obedience, right? It's about obedience. And so if you feel the need to respond to Him in a certain way, please do. Whether it's at your seat or up here, whether you have a decision to make, whether you want to join our church, whatever, just please respond to Him and just obey Him. Okay? Well, I'll close this in prayer for our offering. Again, I thank everybody for being here this morning. It's definitely a cold, nippy morning, that's for sure. So, but let me pray for our offering, just to remind you that the offering baskets are in the back. And so please give as you feel led. Father, I thank you for, again, I thank you for your love and your mercy. Father, I just thank you so much. Heavenly Father, I thank you for my Christian friends and family, my brothers and sisters in Christ. You are so good. Thank you, Father, for them. Heavenly Father, I pray that you just bless them. Just do a mighty work in them, Father. Most importantly, draw them to you. Lord, as we continue in our time of worship, giving back a portion which you've given us, Father, bless the gift, bless the giver mightily. And Father, help us as a church to use these funds in a way that would be pleasing to you and that would further your kingdom. May you be honored and glorified in Jesus' name. Amen.